So I think the first thing we like to do is have you introduce yourself so we know that you guys didn't just show up on a Saturday afternoon because you had nothing better to do, although you did show up. We'll talk about the drum kit getting in a couple of minutes. So why don't you identify who you are?
I'm Craig Fox.
Patrick Keeler.
Jack.
See, and this is the trick that I now do. And you are you with some band, or are you just like Craig and Patton?
We just hang out together.
So you're not really with a band?
No.
You just picked up some instruments in the hate and just decided to hang out here?
No, we play in the Greenhorns.
You do? Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Can I just ask you the same questions I asked Brendan Benson?
Sure.
Okay, good. I'll just ask the same. And what we can do is we'll just like fill in the blanks with different instead of. So Brendan, I can just say, so Craig. And
right.
Okay, good. Brendan actually went out of his way in the interview, and I should have brought it because we were talking about Blanche and we were talking about the Greenhorns, and he went out of his way. I think he went on for 5 minutes to say that he did not produce these records, that he's not a producer, that he just hung out and he really didn't even want his name on the record. Now, I don't think he meant that as an insult.
Right.
He didn't mean he didn't want his name on the record because you guys, you know, were no good.
He's modest.
He's modest. But tell me a little bit, I mean, in terms of ego, Phil Spector, he's not.
True.
But on the other hand, without doing the suck-up thing, I got the record. I've played all 5 tracks. You know, every week of the show, I've just tracked another track, and I want more. So tell me a little bit about the whole connection, because it was recorded at a pretty famous recording studio, now famous recording studio in Detroit, except for one track, see, I paid attention, that is the last track. That actually does sound a little different.
Right.
But tell me a little bit about how you got connected with all of the, you know, fill in the whole little blanks, because you've been around for a while and we're going to talk about that as time goes on here.
Okay.
So how did this all happen? The strum of the guitar adds a special. I think between every question you could do a brrrr. A little musical cue.
It started with Brendan calling. No, we wanted to record. We started off making a full-length record, and we were talking to Brendan, and we wanted to work with him just because of
his reputation as a wonderful guy.
Yeah, and he's just fun to hang out with. And so we just kind of, you know, started doing it, and he got busy with his record coming out. And
Alternative to Love.
Ended up, we made an EP. So,
and the first thing I said to the folks at V2 Records was, so there is more, there will be once Brendan gets unbusy. Are you gonna turn this into an entire album, or will the other half become like, you know, EP number 2? How about East Grand Blues Volume 2?
Could do it.
You know, or West Grand Blues.
Right,
just an album.
Yeah,
just a whole different album.
Whole different album.
Yeah, we're gonna work with Brendan again. Maybe at a studio in Cincinnati, Ultra Suede.
Cool.
John Curley, engineer.
It's very brave to put out an EP. You do know that.
I had no idea.
It is. You are brave. You know, because in the old days, EPs existed. People actually did do these 4-track singles or whatever. But this is, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't even know, because I get them for free. How much, like if I go to my local, you know, Tower Records store, which is not the one I would go to, by the way. I don't know why I use that as an example, but... How much would I pay for this? Do I get a special discount?
It's
like
$18.
Is it $18?
No, it's $5.
That's a rip. Can I just tell you? No offense. The music's great, but I'm only getting 5 stinking songs.
I think it's $5.
On iTunes, you see it's only 99 cents a tune.
I think it's the same in the record.
Yeah, so it all works. Okay. So I think I'm just going to go a little deeper, because I really think there are more degrees here than Kevin Bacon could ever hope for in that. Can you just sort out the Jack, Brendan, Loretta... Gosh knows all the connections. I mean, there's a lot of recording going on here besides the Greenhorns, and we are going to come back to the Greenhorns, but who knew who and how? Or who knew how and who?
I guess it started off meeting Jack White, and...
And how did that happen?
Just playing shows in Detroit. It was probably 7 years ago.
And he just was out and heard you?
Yeah, and we just became friends. And then, I don't know, that's kind of where it all started.
Wow.
And you can just kind of go from there, meeting Brendan, hanging out, becoming friends with him.
But there's a lot of, you've been on a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a lot of stuff recently.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about some of the special moments.
Boy.
Which one?
Talk Boy. Oh, pick two special moments. Two highlights of the last. See, these interviews can either take like the really wise ass tone, so I'm going to go there first and see where we end up. Or we could be really serious and I can get there too.
Well, the Loretta was good. Patrick and I played on it. And that was from Jack also. Just, I guess, needed a studio band to come in.
So you were like session musicians almost.
Yeah, hired guns.
Hired Guns.
Session Man.
If the Greenhorns doesn't work as a name, Hired Guns.
That was our first choice, actually, but there was already a band.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay, thank you.
And was then, a porno that Jack well, was in there.
Right. Hired Guns.
That was Hired Gun.
Thank you very much. He's going to go for it, too.
Yeah.
And just to get the mafia even better, you're all on the same label. You all got signed to the same label.
Right. I don't know how that one worked out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so that way you can play on each other's stuff and there's no real contractual issues here.
Yes, not.
We were all thinking about buying it.
Buying V2?
Yeah, we're just going to go in there.
And would you change it to like G2?
Right.
G2 or J2? No, see, Jack would change it to J2.
I think it would be J2.
It would be J2.
J3.
Yeah. He's got more money. J3. He's got more money. So I figure that's... you're not the new kids on the block, and I'm not referring to the hip-hop group. Thank you very much. I mean, you've been around since 96, and right. I took the time to kind of go back. I have to call Telstar and get, you know, fresh copies of everything. But I took the time to kind of go back, you know, to see if the sound, quote, evolved. But tell me a little about 96. We're talking almost 9 years of this, and that's a long time for most bands to stay together, never mind most bands staying together while not selling 8 gazillion records.
Right.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, without going to the like, oh, we all met when we were kids, and, you know, because anybody can read that kind of stuff on websites.
Right.
But tell me a little bit about, you know, up until the past couple of years when you did get to do all this cool stuff.
Why we kept on doing it.
Well, sure, but a little bit of, you know, historical perspective, too, on the band.
We played a lot of crappy shows at bars where there's no one there. I don't know why I would keep doing it. Because it's fun. It's still right. Fun. It still manages to be.
Because it's rock and roll and it's something to do?
Yeah, probably wouldn't do anything else.
So I do know a lot. I mentioned this while we were talking before the interview. I know a lot of Cleveland bands because I went to the recent opening of the House of Blues, and it was Eric Carmen, of all people, of the Raspberries, that gave me the full rundown on all of the bands from Ohio. But he did Cleveland. So Cincinnati. Give me a few other, like, great Cincinnati bands.
There's Afghan Whigs.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
There you go.
Bootsy Collins.
Bootsy Collins.
King Studios.
Have you ever been played on WKRP? Oh, that's not a real radio station. Darn.
We do play the theme song before we play this sometimes.
Do you really?
Is our opening music? It's not really gone over that well. I don't think
you've got the guitar close enough to the microphone. Go ahead. Come on.
No, the theme song, not us playing it. Just
right.
Play.
Just kind of like opening music. Actual
theme
song.
Now, who was the vocalist on that? Who actually? Because, I mean, I've got it on one of those TV Tunes records.
No, I don't know.
That wasn't Jack White. Did that like a long time ago when he was a kid.
Earlier work.
Just kind of took the vocals and harmonized them and brought them down a little bit and did a little. So, on to the music. You're not British expats, you know, who claim to be from Cincinnati. But I think this is kind of all a secret plot conjured up by Mark Bolan, who never died. I mean, I don't ask the influences question because I have a much better way around that, which you'll see, because that's a waste of time. But the riffs, whether it be the riff in, you know, There Is No End, or the riff that opens I'm Going Away, or All Night, I mean, these are classic riffs, but yet what's great about it is I could probably identify it with 25 different bands. So is this just a love of a certain... I asked the Sites this when they sat here, too, because I kind of felt the same way about them, and I feel the same way about, you know, a lot of the good bands that come in here, which is we all know that when you get written up in Mojo magazine or the NME or just about anywhere, the first thing they do is say, it's the Stones meets the Beatles, meets the Kinks, meets right. the blah, 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 meets the... But tell me a little bit about how all of this got into your head and then how it's getting output into what it is. Because it's very melodic, it's very riff, it's got the right reverb on it, it's got the right harmonies, and I say this in a way that means something to me, it's very easy to listen to. And it's not that I don't want to be challenged by music, but I want music that I can immediately hear and like. And this took nothing for me. Now, maybe this is just me.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
But tell me a little bit about what got into your heads and when you listen to this, you listen to your own music, obviously, but what do you hear and what do you want to hear and what do you want people to hear? A lot of words with hear at the end of it.
I don't know. Just me personally, I listen to a lot of old music, so that's a lot.
You think that's where it comes from?
Yeah.
Well, it's just you write a song, it's just rock and roll. You write it, you know, how else would you write a song?
Well, there are many ways not to write a song these days.
Yeah, but we probably follow the same ways they did it.
Probably,
but that's why we get referenced.
Well, you know, and there's two ways to look at it. It's either very trendy or very anti-trendy, because all the British guitar bands, of course, do sound alike, and you sound nothing like them.
Yeah.
You know, which is really good.
Yeah.
When you come right down to it. But so you didn't really intend to do anything. You just kind of had music that you've always liked and just said, we want to make more of it and continue that tradition.
Yeah.
Would that be the best way to
answer?
Best way to describe it? So I don't want to go through each of the songs because, you know, it's like, so I'm going away. You kind of decided it was a song about going away.
Right.
Wow. How about that? And Pattern Skies, it was about the love in the sky and the clouds making... But why don't you pick a couple of songs and kind of tell me the motivation behind them, you know, because they are, again, very melodic, and it's not like you tried to go deep, deep, deep in, you know, to Pink Floyd land for the lyrics here. You, again, wrote really great, great pop songs. Except for one track that runs on just 5 minutes. The average, I did my calculators, 2 minutes and 21 seconds. Again, how dare you?
That's a good time.
You know, people are paying for this record. Can you give them a little bit more, you know, a little bit more music for their buck?
I get bored with the songs.
Well, you know, and this is true, and of course, this will run a few weeks from now, and now I'm going to date myself, and I can cut it if I want to, but true story, I listened to this yesterday afternoon, and then the Friday night show, I opened it up with Gotta Get Away by the Stones, just because I had been listening to your stuff, and I was going to open it with something completely different, and then I just pulled out my old As Tears Go By 45, scratchy, turned it over, and that's what I opened it with, and then I looked, and I said... And usually you have a lot to do when you're opening your radio show. It was 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and it was over, and I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? My listeners appreciated that. So I sort of asked this, but I really do want to ask it in a serious way. What did Brendan actually do as a producer? Do you think that he took your sound and made it different?
Yeah, I think Brendan, he has a really, he can really craft vocals, and, you know, he's really great with harmonies, and he helped with the song structure a little bit. Like we had demoed a lot of these songs, or 5 of these songs before, and so he just kind of helped put them together.
It is less, and please take this as a compliment, it's less raw sounding. It is very, this is very, 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 very polished.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he did that.
Which I don't think is a bad thing.
No.
In my book, it's kind of like heaven, but you know, but that's...
I like that.
But that's me. So... LeGrand, was there any digital involved in this thing, or was it completely straight to tape and bouncing tracks and all of that for the geeks in the audience who like to know about that stuff?
There were some tricks.
The music tracks were taped, then dumped to a computer for overdubs.
And then it was mixed from there on in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of reverb did you use?
I don't even know what kind he had.
Big Room Pro Tools LE. I
don't know. Ah, Big Room Pro Tools. my favorite. How many times have you seen Broken Flowers?
I've not seen it.
We haven't.
We haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
I can't believe it. So
is it good?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Bill Murray plays the same part.
Yeah.
But he plays as he did in Lost in Translation, but he plays it better. I think you should get the Academy Award for this one. But your track opens and closes the film.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of. That's not, maybe because it's called There Is No End, but tell me a little bit about that track, because that track undoubtedly, for better or for worse, is going to get heard over the next bunch of weeks, is going to get heard more than anything you've probably ever done.
True.
Especially in theaters, people are going to be rushing out to try to find it, and the debate is whether they're going to go out and find, you know, Dual Mono, or whether they're going to go out and, you know, get the Broken
Hollies.
You know, huh?
Or Find Holly's record.
Or Find a Holly's record. Yeah, exactly. Find Holly's record. Is it on Holly's record, too?
Yeah, she does on one of them. She does a different version.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Truly, there is no other. She does a different version of it.
Really?
Yeah.
How much different does it sound?
It's pretty different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, so tell me a little bit about hooking up with her, because I think you took her sound and did something very different with it, too, because she's known for being a little bit more more out there.
Yeah. It was basically...
We have the same booking agent that I tour.
Yeah, wow. We were touring in the U.S., and then she stuck around.
Opened up for her.
So that voice, we all supposed to have crushes on her just as a result of that?
That was the idea.
Was that the idea?
Yeah.
I mean, the song comes on in the movie, and you just sit there, and aside from the riff, of course, which is just timeless, you know, you just sit there, and you just want to know what's going to happen in the movie.
That's
so
great.
It was really big bucks license or a little license?
It was a nice license.
Good. Yeah. Good. It should be, because that movie's going to make a lot of money.
Right. Well, it was one of those things, though. I think we would have done it for free, just because it's Jim Jarmusch. But
yeah, you can't go wrong with that, can you? Yeah, that's kind of a neat thing.
But luckily, we didn't have to.
But do you think that track's going to help sell a lot of these EPs too? Way to discover the band. I mean, the timing is impeccable.
Yeah, that was the idea. Yeah, it's good.
The timing, you know, from a business perspective, it couldn't be better. And then there's this other band that Brendan kept hinting about, the Rock Hunt. I can
say it.
Rock Contours. Nice Jewish boy doing French. 5 years of French. The Rock Contours. Yo, Rock Contour. Hey, you know, Rock on Tour.
There you go.
See, I think that's part of the... Never mind. Even Brendan wouldn't tell me what that's going to be like or when it's going to come out or anything like that. So who wants to tell me a little bit about... Because, again, there's not enough side bands going on here.
There's
enough other stuff going on, for crying out loud. I mean, how do you keep any of this straight?
Well, Craig and Meg White are working on a Christmas record, too.
Seriously?
I don't know.
I can't wait to hear that one.
Right.
But no, tell me a little bit about that. Is that waiting for everybody's record now? Is that waiting for Jack and Meg's record and your record and Brendan's record to all clear the way and then that comes out? Or
I don't know what their plan is with that one.
It's kind of a surprise. Is it on V2?
It's all a surprise.
Is it on the same label?
Not
a clue.
Don't know.
It's all...
Are we going to be surprised by the music?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Completely different kind of...
I think it's different for, you know, everybody involved.
So how did it start? Just kind of a fun side project, just to do something that everybody just was into doing, or...
It was just kind of a phone call. A couple phone calls. And then I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
Tell me a little bit about what you think's going on in kind of the people that you like and what's happening here, because there is something happening, and it is a return... You know, to melody. I mean, we had a bunch of years of very loud music.
Right.
Yeah.
And now something's changed.
We were playing through that whole time period.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you were the guys coming on, they're going,
we started.
Who are they? What are they?
Right.
What are they? But tell me a little bit about that. I mean, is this good? This is good, is it not?
Yeah, it feels good. It's nice to, you know, be able to go play shows and go to different cities and hook up with other bands that are, you know, doing the same kind of stuff, or, you know, not necessarily the same, but in the same vein. And they're cool guys to hang out with, and you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's good.
So the last thing before, we're going to do a session, but we're now going to pretend that it's after the session.
Okay.
And the last thing I'm going to ask you to do, and you can't cheat, because I saw a picture in Interview Magazine the other day, so you can't cheat on this one. We have a tradition on this show. And what we're going to do is we'll probably use the session tunes, but I want you to kind of do it a different way. What we do is we do a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And it's two of your songs as the bread, and then as many pieces of music as you've always wanted to hear in between two of your songs.
Bob Dylan, Queen Jane approximate.
Very cool.
What's that Jagger song I like?
The rapper.
Hey, that was the Jaggers was what's his face? Who was the lead singer? There was somebody real who came out of that. I always forget who it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was somebody real.
Yeah. How about We're Gonna Groove, Led Zeppelin?
Oh, there you go. The Hard Edge.
Kind of hard.
Bird's Eye View, Brendan Benson.
It's kudos to BB.
Right.
To the man.
Okay,
a couple of more.
Britney Spears, Toxic.
Thank you. I've had Christina Aguilera. You'd be amazed. I've had to play Christina Aguilera next to Serge Gainsbourg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've done it.
Let's do a Serge Gainsbourg song, too. Something. I don't really know the titles, but I like him.
Just pick one of his. Yeah, he's become, you know, I mean, we're talking 1970. The guy is he alive? Did he die?
He's dead, I think.
He's got to be dead by now. I mean,
he should be.
Just for his lifestyle.
He better be.
Just because he had all those beautiful women on the cover of his records, he deserves to die.
Right.
Don't you think? You got another one in your head?
Do you have any Jake Holmes?
I have anything you want. Jake Holmes?
High school.
I don't know.
High school times or something with high school.
On the Jake Holmes record?
Yeah.
That infamous Jake Holmes record?
It's on the second one.
Okay, so it's not on the one with...
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you.